This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Tommy Smith is going to be joining the program. If you are a soccer fan, you know the name very well. Legendary soccer commentator is going to join the program. And then how about this? Jim Duquette, the Duke, is going to be back in the program here talking all things Major League Baseball. Great to have Jim back in the program. And James Webb is going to join us in hour number three. Oh, we got a little hot dog eating contest. And James, number four in the Major League Eating World Rankings. We got him on the program here. Great job by our producer, Joe Friso. What a show we've got lined up for you. But talking more World Cup, it's been a lot of fun. Three more teams punched their tickets yesterday, Jensen. That's where we begin. Our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Portugal, it wasn't easy, but you get through. Spain, they looked like the powerhouse that they are. And Switzerland, they all get through to the round of 16. I know we're all looking for Team USA against Belgium. Small betting favorite there on Monday night. But Jensen, three other teams punching their tickets yesterday to the round of 16.
Yep, one side of the bracket is ready and rocking for the round of 16, which will start tomorrow. You mentioned Portugal through, and another beneficiary of a VAR that ends up going their way. Croatia offside on a header that would have leveled the score at two there in extra time, but they survive in advance. Spain, no issue whatsoever with Austria. 3-0, they get through. They will match up on Monday afternoon. Winner of that potentially has the United States. They will play later on in the Pacific Northwest, 8 o'clock Eastern time on Monday night. The other side of that bracket, Dave, very intriguing from our futures portfolio. We have Morocco at 60-1. They are a favorite right now against Canada. First match of the round of 16 tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern on July 4th. And then France and Paraguay, France, the decided favorite there, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Winners of those matches will face each other in the quarterfinal round.
We know that you're fired up as well as we should be, because obviously besides the USA-Belgium matchup on Monday night, Mexico and England Sunday night, as you've mentioned, the atmosphere might be something for American soccer fans like, whoa, this is pretty intense. Well, Will Gavin was on Prop Points yesterday, and he talked about England in this matchup. They're a $1.40 betting favorite against Mexico. Is that a number you might want to play? Let's hear from Will.
I think if they can handle the altitude, and they've got a lot of training in place for that, and if they can handle the crowd, and these are players that play in front of the biggest crowds in world football, week in, week out in the Premier League and in the Champions League, then on paper, talent-wise, England are the better team. But I don't know. It's as difficult a test as they could possibly face in this tournament, particularly at the round of 16. And so right now I'm hedging my bets a little bit. I think a tight game, but I'm still going to back England to win it. I still fancy it by a single goal in 3-2-1, something like that. But yeah, I don't feel hugely brash about making that call. Let's put it that way.
Jensen, I think that's kind of the common theme here. Okay, hey, England's better on paper. I think everybody recognizes that. Then you put in the altitude, as you mentioned. You put in Mexico. You put in the home crowd they're going to be facing there. And all of a sudden, this $1.40 betting favorite doesn't feel like a favorite after all.
Yeah, telling you, Mexico does not lose at Estadio Azteca, and the altitude is going to be a real thing from a handicapping standpoint, Dave. Will fatigue set in for the Three Lions side there into the second half? You know that it's going to be a fever pitch with Mexico on their home soil. By the way, it's going to feel, I know it's a football Sunday internationally, Dave, it's going to have an NFL feel because of Brazil and Norway that will be in the afternoon there at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Think Seahawks, Rams. That's the comp that I have with both those sides. High octane offenses. They'll send numbers forward. You're going to get back and forth on the counter. A lot of great talent. Of course, Erling Haaland, one of the great strikers there in international football. Vinicius Jr. there on the Brazil side. Will we see Neymar at some point? buddy, we are really set up for what could be a fabulous weekend on the round of 16. And oh, by the way, not that we have throwaway games today to finish out the round of 32. Argentina shouldn't have a problem with Cape Verde. But think about Australia and Egypt, a little more cagey, a little bit lower scoring there. I think an under two, if you can find the Asian spread totals on your various sports books, Dave, it's at 1.5 right now. I'm not sure I'm confident with a little leeriness about an extra goal, maybe late. I would want the chance for the push. So I played under two for the total in Australia, Egypt at minus $1.30. That the only play in pocket for me so far in the three matches remaining today.
We had to give out some suspensions here in Major League Baseball. If you saw Wilson Contreras and Cade Cavalli kind of get into it a little bit, apparently Cade say, sit down, boy, after a strikeout. And, you know, you're a grown man. Sometimes you don't like to be called boy, so I can understand that. Didn't know it would lead to fisticuffs. So you're going to get seven games, though, for both those guys? Jensen, pitchers talk. Batters like to show people up when they hit home runs. Can you not talk to hitters after you strike them out?
This feels a bit harsh, and I think for the Cade Cavalli side, like Dave, listen, my only career ejection was throwing at Adrian Beltre. There was intent. I knew it. Rules of engagement, I was fully ready to go. I think Adrian Beltre did see his life flash before his eyes, which is why he didn't want to come at me. But there was no issue I had with Cade Cavalli. He punched out Wilson Contreras. Not like he airmailed him or he hit him.
No, right.
He just said, sit down. But he didn't even stare him down. He just kind of walked through like it's a normal strikeout. And then Wilson Contreras, for people that don't know, a native son of Venezuela and has really been dealing with a lot of emotions after the devastating earthquake there. A lot of friends and family have been affected by it. I know from talking to people on the ground, that is a big reason why he has been uneasy here the last several weeks. So I totally get that from the human side. But Dave, he threw his helmet or attempted to throw his helmet at Cavalli. And to have both those guys get seven games, I cannot believe the commissioner said, well, I can't. It's Rob Manfred. But Cavalli, I think, gets his suspension reduced. I don't know if Contreras will. So anxious to see what the fallout will be from that moving forward.
Yeah, and interesting. And again, that can probably be in a court of baseball law kind of reduced, you would think, at some point. I don't know that those seven games are going to stick there. That's for sure. We talked about this yesterday with Jonathan Davis right here on VSiN by the Books. And we intimated that we thought, and JD certainly thought, that Alex Ovechkin, the Great Eight, would be coming back to Washington, D.C. for another year. And that is 24 hours later, in fact. So returning to a one-year deal for the Capitals. JD, again, please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. He mentioned how much he likes the Caps next year and their prospects in the Eastern Conference. They're going to get a little bit better with the Great Eight there on the left side of that power play, Jensen. You got one more shot at least in Washington, D.C. to, for my money, the best to ever do it, certainly to lace them up in the nation's capital.
Well, the Eastern Conference going to be a haymaker, too. You had the defending Stanley Cup champions, the Carolina Hurricanes, plus 750. They are co-favorites right now with the Florida Panthers, who now have the Tkachuk brothers there together, and they're looking for a bounce back. I would say Tampa Bay has to be taken seriously, as always, 12-1 right now to win the Cup in the East. So hey, the Caps at 20-1. I know Jonathan Davis, for those that didn't get to hear that interview live yesterday, please like and follow our By the Books podcast. A great insight into a lot of different future plays that he wants to get invested in. So, and oh, by the way, Dave, the Montreal Canadiens, 22-1. Like, come on. This is going to be a beast of an Eastern Conference in the National Hockey League in 2026.
They've had some great ones in different sports. He is on the Mount Rushmore of DC sports. That is for sure. Alex Ovechkin with year number 22 coming straight ahead. Tari Eason, I don't know if he's going to be on Mount Rushmore, but maybe his bank account should be just for a role player. 5 years, $81.5 million deal to stick around here with H-Town. So, you know, we're talking about all these other teams out west. Houston going to keep one of their own. By the way, Billy Donovan speaking out west, he's going to be joining the staff for the San Antonio Spurs. That kind of raises some eyebrows a little bit after what we saw and the way the finals didn't exactly work out for Mitch Johnson and the Spurs against the Knicks.
I don't think Mitch Johnson's job is in jeopardy after taking the team to the finals, but perhaps a little more veteran insight for him to lean on. Of course, a disciple Mitch Johnson was of Greg Popovich, so he's had a heck of a basketball mentor, but you can never have too much head coaching experience to lean on, especially now, Dave. It's no longer the Spurs being the hunters. They're one of the hunted, and interested to see how that relationship works. And Dave, boy, Tari Eason, a great role player now, getting absurd money. It is a tradition unlike any other in the NBA, overpaying for assets. So interested to see where the Rockets go after trying to get Kevin Durant and company to take it out in the Western Conference last year.
And by the way, if this is at the behest of Mitch Johnson, then good on you. Like, if you're smart mm-hmm. enough to realize, hey, I need some help here in end-of-game situations when they matter the most, that shows you that you're secure in who you are and what you do as a head coach. So hopefully that's what it is. It's not management saying, hey, Mitch, we're going to bring in Billy the Kid. He's going to be sitting next to you in the bench. So let's make sure you get this right. We've got two guys at the top of the leaderboard to start round two. And round two has begun here of the John Deere Classic. This is in Illinois. And Zach Blair and Lucas Glover are sitting atop that. I don't know that those two guys, after great rounds, have the staying power to go all 4 days. Right now, gents, we're seeing that the cut line is sitting at 2 under par. So if you're at even par, 1 under par, you need to make some moves today here. I would think, Jensen, we're looking at 20 under-ish after watching the way the course played yesterday. I think you're going to get 4 days of pretty low scoring. So if you had an indifferent day yesterday, you better step on the gas pedal today.
Three guys under par currently as round two is underway. Little Denny McCarthy needs to make a little move here. He is actually just hit another birdie. He's 2 under Woo! Through two. So let's go. Need a big day from Little Denny to get us into the money here this weekend.
See, it's so funny. You can pick up what I'm putting down. I hope Denny McCarthy did. That was all for Denny McCarthy. Like, let's go, Denny. We need you. 2 under through two. That's a good start. Okay, when we come back, let's get to the Daily Docket. More World Cup and some changes in the betting market here in Kentucky. Could it affect you in the state that you're in? That's next right here at VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
This 4th of July, we're bringing back something we rarely do, a multi-year VSiN Pro subscription. How about this? For 1 week only, you can get 2 full years of VSiN Pro for just $299. Now, that's access through July of 2028. That is nearly 70% off the regular monthly price. So you're going to get our NFL season betting guides, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and every betting guide we do, season previews, VSiN Pro features that we're going to release over the course of the next 2 years. But I'm telling you, this special will not last forever. It is a special 4th of July special. So that offer will disappear on July 7th. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Lock in 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And Jensen, as you mentioned yesterday on the program, if you're an existing member already as a VSiN Pro subscriber, Jensen, that doesn't mean that you miss out on this great deal.
No, it will be an extension of the date where your current subscriptions expires. That will add on 2 calendar years there. So if you are an existing subscriber, you, of course, are eligible for it. It's our best deal. No question about it. All the betting guides, all the info. Cannot wait to see what those numbers look like. And again, appreciate everyone making us a part of their morning here on VSiN by the Books.
Absolutely. Well said. It is the best offer you can get. But again, it will expire on July 7th. So take advantage of it now. Let's talk some soccer and some changing in the betting markets here. It's all coming straight ahead on this edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
We're going to have legendary soccer announcer Tommy Smith join the program in the next segment. Cannot wait to talk to Tommy about the slate and certainly Team USA against Belgium. They're a $1.20 betting favorite. But, Jensen, there are three other matches today. I love that we just put Jerry World for Australia and Egypt down there in Arlington, Texas. But that's what it is. It is Jerry World today. Argentina and Cape Verde, they're going to get it on down there in Miami. And then Colombia against Ghana. That will be in Kansas City later on today. Great conversation that we had with Malcolm Bamford in the first hour. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. And he says it's to him, it's a pretty straightforward handicap with Egypt and Australia today. He likes the Egyptian side. What do you make of this matchup today, Jensen?
So, again, just be mindful. We are awaiting Mo Salah, one of the star striker there for Egypt, awaiting his status on the hamstring injury. If he is fit to go, then yes, I can subscribe to that Egypt side. If you want to play it safe, right now, Egypt minus $1.55 to qualify or advance there to the round of 16. Dave, for people just tuning in, Sirius Channel 158, watching us on YouTube TV, Rogers Sportsnet north of the border, and FanDuel Sports Network. Under two is an alternate total that I played at minus $1.30. I do want to have some of the insurance there for a potential push. I did play an exact or a correct score of Egypt 1, Australia 0 at 5-1 on DraftKings for a little quarter unit play there. If Salah is good to go, Dave, I wouldn't mind an anytime goal score prop for him there. Right now, seeing that at DraftKings, it's a great market on DraftKings too, Dave, because those goal score props, they do include extra time. So if this is level after the 90 minutes and stoppage time, then you still get the extra 2 15-minute periods plus the additional extra if needed in that affair. So plus $1.95 for Mo Salah, anytime goal scorer. I could see if he is fit, if he is starting, Dave, then I can probably get there for that goal prop as well. Not much to give you on Argentina, Cape Verde. It is extremely one-sided and for obvious reasons. I think I'll probably get involved on the spread here for Argentina. I believe laying a goal and a half, if not two goals. I'm going to bring it up right now just because I believe that we've got an opportunity here. And, you know, you want to talk about astronomical prices. How about you got to lay 3,500 here for Argentina to qualify? So, again, you kind of understand where we're going with that one. On the goal spread here, Dave, I'm seeing circa there. The goal and a half, if you want to lay it with Argentina, minus $1.70 at DraftKings, they have you have to delay $2.10. So please shop around on the spread there. Instead of maybe laying the goal line here, I'm wondering on the total, the over 3.5 is plus $1.55. Circa has the over 2.5 minus $1.60. I actually think over 2.5 or 3.5. might be intriguing to me, or I may just go find an alternate spread here for Argentina to lay the two. As I'm seeing that right now, that's $1.30 at DraftKings. So that might be one of my plays that I get in later on. Of course, Argentina win to nil, also probably going to have to pay a little bit, but you would assume that they could keep Verde basically out of the goal. And speaking of goals, I mean, Messi, anytime goal scored or, you know, score or assist, obviously strong player props right there.
The longest long shot on the board, it would be a true David and Goliath situation, not only to win today, but Cape Verde to win the World Cup and the astronomical numbers that you're seeing out there right there. Ghana against Colombia will be the last match of the day as well. Do you have anything in pocket on this one? Or what is the rooting interest here, whether it's in the futures market and the pathways for other squads out there?
Yeah, Ghana are pretty organized and physical, but they don't really have a strong attack. And so hard to see them being able to take advantage of a Colombia side that are pretty creative. And they have some quality at the top of their lines. So I would say that the under 2.5 is probably something I'm looking forward to, or a Colombia win to nil, also a way to make a similar wager. This might also be one where if Colombia net one early, they might just sit back and be able to kind of hold some of the reserves. Just knowing where they are, Dave, in the bracket, I might get to a correct score of Colombia 1, Ghana 0, and I'll shop around to see where the best prices are on that. But I could also get behind a lower scoring match. The under 2.5 feels pretty advantageous with the way both these clubs are. Dave, the winner of Colombia-Ghana take on Switzerland in the round of 62. And then, of course, Australia-Egypt winner will take on, we believe, will be Argentina over Cape Verde. That will happen at noon on July 7th. So Tuesday at high noon, winner of Argentina, Cape Verde, Australia, Egypt in the round of 16.
You know, Jensen, I got an email the other day from right here, and you guys know where I work each and every day here at the Mint Gaming Hall, and looking behind me is Circa Sports. And it's a beautiful structure, obviously, here. When you come in here, you can bet, obviously, on some prop markets out here in the state of Kentucky. That has changed to a degree. And I wanted to make this point here. This is now in the state of Kentucky. And Jensen, you know this very well. State by state, these rules and these laws are very different. But this is a significant change here in the prop betting market in Circa and certainly in Kentucky. The following types of wages will no longer be offered on individual performance statistics for athletes on Kentucky-based collegiate athletes. Under markets, markets where the outcome depends on an athlete missing, failing, or producing a negative result, negative outcome derivative markets, same game parlays, bet builders, or similar wagers that include any prohibited selections, and any functionally equivalent markets, regardless of how they are labeled. Now, we talked to the great Mike Palm here, does a great job not only with us, but across the network. Of course, right there with Derek in Las Vegas. And he said, this is specific to Kentucky. This is not in Nevada right now, with Nevada-based athletes. But, Jensen, this, I don't know if it's a direct result of what we're seeing in the NBA in player prop markets, but I think you can start to connect some dots. And clearly, there's no professional teams here in the state of Kentucky. So that's why they've gone here to the NCAA and to the Kentucky-based athletes. But with the issues with Beasley and Davis and the federal investigations here, I wonder if we're going to see more clamping down now on prop betting specifically, because I think in our neck of the woods, what I've seen since then, and did not know, obviously, this email would be coming out about 48 hours ago, it does feel like that the push by state legislators is to limit, if not get rid of, individual prop betting.
I can tell you in Ohio, this state is one of the strongest in trying to eliminate prop wagering, period. We have not been able to wager on collegiate player props. That goes all the way back to early 2024, from what I remember. And I believe there are about 13 states. From what I'm seeing, this is I haven't seen any updated legislation or any news, but I know no college player props right now in Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, New York, here in Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, add in at least for Circa in Kentucky that they have now changed those collegiate player prop markets of those Kentucky-based college schools. So that is of note here moving forward.
Very noteworthy. And again, I didn't know if you could put the genie back in the bottle. They are doing that, at least in this side here in Kentucky, when it comes to those prop bets that we detailed. Okay, we're going to have Tommy Smith join the program next. We're very excited. Legendary voice in soccer, talking all things World Cup next on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Friday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. What a real pleasure it is to welcome an absolute legend here in soccer commentary, Tommy Smith. He is the host of the Grumpy Pundits on SiriusXM FC. Give him a follow on X at Tommy Smith ESPN, and joins the program now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Tommy, it's a real thrill to have you on the program here today. Jensen and I have been enthralled, obviously, in this World Cup. I think like a lot of people here in the United States, not just that we're the host country, but also big match coming up on Monday. But Tommy, would you say that we're not the biggest story so far in this World Cup?
Oh, yeah, I would say so, Dave and Jens. It has to be Cape Verde. I mean, Cape Verde wasn't just a story before the World Cup. Everybody said, where is Cape Verde? Never heard of it. Don't know where it is. But I'll tell you one thing now, you know. I mean, it's an island with like less than 500,000 people, and they're in the round of 16 at the World Cup. I mean, it's an amazing, amazing story.
Tommy, this is going to be one of those David Goliath matchups, however. Where will we find Cape Verde later today when they take on the defending champion, Argentina? They have felt like a well-oiled machine with what Lionel Messi has done. Size up this one, 6 o'clock Eastern in Miami later on tonight.
Well, the one thing about this one is that I have a real interest in it because, there's more Irishmen in the World Cup with Cape Verde than there is here talking on the screen. Well, about the same thing. There's one, Pico Lopez, a Dubliner. He plays with Shamrock Rovers in Dublin. He's playing with, Cape Verde. I think, if this is Cinderella going to the ball, I think she's going to lose two shoes tonight, not just one. The two shoes will be gone because I don't think there's any chance that they're going to stay against Argentina. But then again, I said the same thing when they played Spain. And, I mean, the goalkeeper looked like he had a 6x4 sheet of plywood beside him because nothing could get past them. I mean, Spain tried everything they could possibly do and could only get a draw. But I think the dream ends tonight for Cape Verde. But it's such a great story. It has to live on. It'll live on for a long, long time. People will be talking about Cape Verde 50 years from now. Remember what they did in the World Cup when it was played in the US in 2026. But Argentina, I mean, I'm not sure what the odds are, but I'm sure there must be minus a million, maybe something close to that, and the betting.
Yeah, it's pretty lopsided here. You want to take them just to win by two or more goals, you got to lay $1.70 here on the Argentina side, Tommy. So I think the bookmakers are picking up what you're putting down, that this is a longest of long shots with Cape Verde. I do get the feeling, as you mentioned, like what a great story this has been. They'll talk about it for generations to come there. I don't know that this will be what we're doing here in the United States with this version of Team USA. Big one against Belgium, going to be without Balogun, of course, with that red card heard around the world. So that is going to be tough to overcome there. But where are you, Tommy, on this version of USA soccer? Will this be a team that historically, for only the second time getting to the round of 16 here? How will we look back on this U.S. soccer team?
Well, I think what we'll be looking back at mostly is if they can get to the quarterfinal. I mean, so far the draw has been very kindly to them. You know, when you consider you saw yesterday Croatia and Portugal playing, I mean, the US have not come up against a foe like that. I mean, Paraguay were stiffs the night they played them. Australia wanted to be physical. And the US have, they got a good win the other night. But now the hard work has to start. I would say that it's a pick 'em match between Belgium and the US. I mean, Belgium have backed into this one with 4 minutes to go in the game the other night. They were two goals down. They got themselves the two goals. Lukaku came on. He's the danger man. And then they got a very dubious penalty kick and they won the game. So this will be a big test for the US. But I think it's a game that the US are capable of winning, even without Balogun. And, there's been much made about the Balogun situation, and he will be a huge loss. No question about that. He's a great player. He leads the line so well. He's so strong. He's so technical. The US, Pochettino is going to have to figure out what he does to replace him. That'll be the big question, I think.
Tommy, you know it as well as anyone. Coaching matters this time around. And obviously, when you're in the knockout, you got to have a great leading man. We feel we do there in the red, white, and blue. Okay, winner of USA Belgium. We'll know who that opponent is before that match kicks off because it's a titanic one between Portugal and Spain. Spain decidedly over with a 3-0 win yesterday. Portugal needing to survive in extra time, but they get through. Size it up in your eyes. Already some storylines at the beginning of this tournament on the Portuguese side with the Cristiano Ronaldo saga. Spain look like they don't concede, and they may not ever the way they're going right now. Keys for you in this matchup, as we will have a decided eye on it here in the United States on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, well, definitely the one thing you watch for is he going to drop Ronaldo? Is he going to put him on the bench? Ronaldo hasn't really performed well, but last night I thought the coach got a break because he made a change of like four players and he didn't take off Ronaldo. And a couple of minutes later, he gets a penalty kick, which is ideal for Ronaldo to take. So the coach got a break there. Ronaldo got a break. So the coach said to him probably after that, OK, son, you got your goal now. I'm taking you off. That's it. I'm taking you off. The big question now is, what does he do with him now? Does he put him on the bench and use him as a super sub? I mean, Ronaldo still could be a super sub. There's a problem with Portugal as I see it, because they have two of the best midfielders in the world, Vitinho and Fernandes, but they're just not clicking. They're not clicking. In fact, he gave the two of them the hook last night. I mean, Vitinho to me is one of the best midfielders that's ever played the game. He plays with PSG in France. And Fernandes, of course, plays with Manchester United, and what a year he had. And he has proven over the years to be a match winner. He's a guy that can change a game around very, very quickly for you. But he's not doing that with Portugal. But yet and all, Portugal are still going to meet Spain. Now, Spain, Lamine Yamal, he hasn't played well. The youngster hasn't played well. Yesterday he was nullified in the game. The only good thing that he does for Spain is you watch him. He's out on the right-hand side. If you're a defender, if you're a Portuguese defender now, you've got to watch where he is all the time. So that's taking your attention away. And there's probably another guy going to be saying, yeah, I better try to help my left back out here, if that's who's marking him. So you're creating a lot of space in the middle. And if you watched it yesterday, that's where the first goal came from. They set it up so perfectly down the middle, lots of room. So that to me is the key. How Lamal gets into the game, how Portuguese defenders decide to defend him, and how much attention to pay to him. That would be big, big time.
You know the voice, Tommy Smith, legendary soccer commentary, joining us here on VSiN by the Books this morning. Anytime you talk about the England match Sunday against Mexico, Tommy, to any England backer, I get the feeling they get really nervous about this one all of a sudden, right? With the atmosphere and everything else, they're small favorites in this match against Mexico. Is danger brewing here for England Sunday night?
Well, it's even more dangerous when you ask an Irishman what England are going to do. Are you kidding me? You think the Aztec is a problem? not a chance. Not a chance. Yeah, it was, seriously, this is a big, big problem for England. I mean, the heat, the humidity, you know, everything. The fact that it's so high above sea level, I mean, the only time they're that high above level is when they're on a plane. They have real problems here. But I think, you know, I've asked the question on Grumpy Pundits for the last couple of years. You know, if Harry Kane is not on the English side, what are they? And the answer is they're a very average team. But when Harry Kane's on the side, they're a very, very good team. I mean, he's not just, you saw him score the goal. And if you're into the technique of goal scoring and you want to see how it should be done, watch the video in slow motion and see how far Harry Kane has to go round to get to the ball. He has to go round to get to the ball. Now, he has three defenders coming in this direction on him, and he doesn't even look at them. He doesn't even look at the goal. And I spoke to my brother yesterday. He said, you'd think he launched it out of a cannon. It just took off. Boom. It was in the old onion bag before anybody could even stop it. If Harry Kane gets the supply of the ball, it doesn't matter what the humidity or what the altitude is. Harry Kane will win it for England. But this is, you know, I think the last time they were here, it was 40 years ago, and they did get a win. But like Mexico have an unbelievable record, something like out of 80 games they've played at home, they've only lost two, something like that. I mean, it is, you know, over the years, we all talk about, oh, Anfield's a fortress, or Old Trafford's a fortress. Well, I can tell you one thing, Azteca Stadium is more than a fortress. It's the whole lot put together, because it's unbelievable how difficult it is to play there.
Amen to that. Tommy, last 30 seconds with you, pal. Is it everyone running down France to try and win this thing? Any contenders in your eyes right now?
I don't think so. Mbappe, Olise, those guys are just, they're unbelievable. Mbappe at the moment, I mean, he's scoring goals, unbelievable style. I mean, the first game they went a little bit, you know, they were a little bit sloppy, but they haven't been sloppy since. It's going to be very, very difficult to beat them. I mean, I imagine the next game, if the winner of Spain and Portugal, if things go right, they'll be meeting France. So that, to me, might be the decider of who wins the World Cup right there. Great pleasure talking to you guys. Have a great 4th of July and take care of yourselves, all right?
Same to you, Tommy. What a pleasure this is. Check him out on Grumpy Pundits there on SiriusXM FC. We're back with more.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, and Circus Football Contests are open for business. You don't have to live in Vegas in order to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in this great country of ours. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, that's all it takes. Play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Amazing conversations we've had today with Malcolm Bamford in hour number one, Tommy Smith in the last segment. Please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast. Jensen, great nuggets that they gave. Certainly looking ahead to some of these matches today in the World Cup. We'll do more of that talk here. Also going to have Jim Duquette join the program here, of course, former GM of Major League Baseball. Great to have the Duke back in the program. And we're also going to have James Webb is going to join the program here in the next hour. Who's James Webb, you ask? Well, he's only the number four ranked major league eating right now in the world rankings. That's where James resides. So we've got a little hot dog eating contest coming up. We'll talk to James about that as well. But lots to get to, some changing numbers, certainly in Major League Baseball. And that's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Oh, boy. I'm looking at some of these opening day totals here, and I'm looking at, boy, how excited I was for the Mets season. Their win total, by the way, was 90.5, Jensen. I don't think they're going to get there. Do you agree with that assessment?
No. Yeah, they're nowhere close to it. This is something we're going to do here moving into the All-Star break next week. So we'll break down a division each day, obviously today, and then all 5 days next week. I know you'll be on vacation, but Mark Malus is joining us all next week, leading us into the end of the first half of the season. Dave, I wanted to start with the NL East, obviously, because of your favorite team. It has not been the year that Steve Cohen and company thought it would be. That being said, always great to do these audits right around the All-Star break of what we saw before the season started, and is there present value in maybe some of these division odds. So we begin with the National League East. You and I have made mention the last week or so that the Phillies have been hard charging here and have closed the gap on the Atlanta Braves significantly, so much so that it actually is reminiscent and even a bit shorter, Dave, of what their preseason price. The Phillies were plus $1.80 to win the National League East before the season started. They're right at plus $1.35. They enter play today just 2.5 games behind the Atlanta Braves. Winners of 7 of their last 10, Dave, and they have really started to round into form on the pitching side, getting Zach Wheeler back to go along with Christopher Sanchez, Jesus Luzardo. Back into their bullpen has been really good, and the offense is now starting to surge. I wanted to steer your attention to two teams, and the Atlanta Braves, let's start there, because they've dealt with their fair share of injuries. They have lost 8 of their last 10. Not that I would look at them leaking oil and kind of feel, I don't know if I want to get invested here. They are getting some reinforcements, particularly in their rotation back. Just got Hurston Waldrop back yesterday. Spencer Schwellenbach could be on the horizon here in the second half. And, of course, still without Ronald Acuna Jr., you're trying to find a way to get some of your big studs back. Would you be interested, knowing that they're spring training number of 86.5 wins and plus +250 to win the National League East. They are currently projected for 91 total wins, that via Fangraphs. $1.60 favorite. Would you rather play an alternate win total right now, or would you still be investing in the Braves to secure this National League East division title?
I don't know that I would be, Jensen. I do look at the Phillies right now at plus $1.35. And if you made me wager one way or the other, as much as I, again, never admit this in court of law, I'd have to take the Phillies at that short plus money price. Now, Preston Mattingly, yes, the GM is the son of the current manager, Don Mattingly, there in Philadelphia, comes from the Dave Dombrowski school, obviously, right? So I look at Preston now as the young GM, if you will, kind of on the spot here. What are you going to do at the trade deadline? with this older team that they have, I have to imagine, and we'll find out if there's going to be a counter here from the ATL before the trade deadline. I feel like we've got a Cold War arms race scenario that could be building, right? And so what team out of those top two in the National League East would I trust more? I'm going to look at Mattingly's plural with the Phillies to get more reinforcements on a team that I think is already pretty stocked, certainly with starting pitching, maybe could use some help in the back end of the bullpen. Everybody could use that this time of year. There are teams out there that you could go pilfer, a setup guy and or closer if you really want to go that route. Jensen, I think Philadelphia, because they know that this is an older group, that the core of it will not look the same in 2 years, and we know the landscape of Major League Baseball could be changing in general anyway, I would double down on the Mattingly's pearl here at plus $1.35. Phillies would be the bet that I would make right now. Not to fade the Braves necessarily, but I just think in this arms race, I'm going to trust Philadelphia to spend, and spend more. They wanted to spend on Bo Bichette before the year began, and they couldn't get Bo. And he went to New York. I think now that's money that they look at and go, oh, we saved some of that? Let's go spend it now before the trade deadline.
Okay, interesting. I know you already have a ticket on Miami at upwards of 7-1 plus 750 to make the postseason. I got to tell you, 30-1 keeps staring at me that I didn't think previously, and I'll explain why I think it might be worth a little pizza money. Dave, they're 5.5 out right now of the top spot in the division. They are 28-17 at home. Only the Milwaukee Brewers have more home wins in the National League than the Miami Marlins. Now, they're 7 games under 500 away from South Beach. They're plus 11 in the run differential. And I actually believe that there's more in the tank with this team. Now, by no means am I telling you to go crazy in betting the Marlins to win the National League East. But, Dave, I can't get away from looking at an offense that is top 10 in average and on base. They are the number one team in Major League Baseball in stolen bases. Their back end of the bullpen is way better than I think people realize. They have the third lowest whip. They have the lowest hits per nine rate allowed and the second lowest homers per nine. That's their bullpen. Now, at the beginning of the year, I would have told you I would bank on this rotation being absolutely dominant with the arms, the way Sandy Alcantara looked to finish last year, and he has been still really good this year. They got Yuri Perez back from injury. Max Meyer, I think I had a viewer send a post on social media and say, hey, 100-1 for Max Meyer on the Cy Young side. And I said, I can see where you're going, but a lot of big names that he'd have to leapfrog, particularly in that future market. I like it. He'd have to continue the dominance, and you would need Christopher Sanchez to fall on his face. Jacob Mizorowski, who gave up 5 runs yesterday, you would need sustained issues with the guys in front of Max Meyer. I don't hate it, but it certainly wouldn't be any more than maybe a bonus bet, and that would be as far as I would go. So I wanted to kind of bring the Marlins to your attention because I know you've already identified them as a postseason wager, period.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't shy away from maybe getting a little bit, just a little bit, of the Marlins at 30-1. They're going to be active at the deadline. Peter Hendricks has really been lethal at exacting a lot of ROI out of this young roster. The offense needs power. If they could get a power bat in the middle of that lineup, that answers a big question mark for them. That is an attractive price to me. As long shot as it looks, I still think it's worth having just a little investment on the Marlins in that National League East division race.
Well, you answered my question because you must have known that was the question I was going to ask, which is what do you think they would actually need in the middle of that lineup? But you're right, it would be a power bat, right? So it feels like the Marlins are that type of team that when they're in contention, which is rare, we get it, and they're dealing with different financial constraints, at least down there, at least that's what they tell you, versus the big clubs every year. But that when they feel like they're in it, they will actually go spend. I go back to, say, Milwaukee years ago when they got CC Sabathia and they made the playoff push there to go get a rental. You think it'd be that type of deal? That would be like, all right, we know we're not going to keep X player, whatever it might be, but we'll get him for this stretch run and salvage a little bit of our future so that we can really push some chips in here for this year? Because you're right. I think the glaring need for the Marlins is power in the middle of that lineup.
God, if Eugenio Suarez had been hitting well for the Reds, that is exactly the kind of short-term bat. It's on a one-year deal. It would be prorated for the Marlins. It fits all the boxes that they would need. It's right-handed power. Javier Sano has been playing third for them. But you find, like I said, if Gino was swinging it, you put him in the middle of Otto Lopez and Kyle Stowers, the way Liam Hicks has been swinging it, Xavier Edwards. Now it looks a bit more formidable, but anxious to see what they do in the coming weeks.
We're going to have Jim Duquette, a former GM, join the program in the next hour. I'm sure Jim would get those type of calls around this time of year, every year here. What do you do here with some of these teams as we start to turn to the second half of the year? What's coming up on this 4th of July? Just about everything in the sporting world. We'll discuss that next right here on Beeson by the Books.